This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the class of Aqeedah. Today, inshallah, we will discuss several issues regarding the minor shirk, which could lead also to the major shirk. We will start with the sacrifice. The author mentioned in the book, the subtitle, sacrifice is a type of worship. When we say sacrifice is a type of worship, that means it should be only performed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since it is a type of worship, if it's done to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes shirk. Now, why do we discuss this issue here in the aqidah, the sacrifice? Because in fiqh, we discuss how to sacrifice, what types of blades can we use, how we sharpen the knife, what do we say when we sacrifice, what types of animals, livestock that we could sacrifice. So it's really an issue of fiqh, but we discuss it here in aqidah. Why? Because before it's an issue of fiqh, it's an issue of aqidah. Aqidah deals with the fundamental things, just like the prayer. Yes, we discussed prayer in fiqh, but is prayer obligatory or not? Why do we believe that prayer is obligatory? This is an issue of aqidah. What are the recommended acts of prayer? What are the obligatory acts of prayer? That's an issue of fiqh. The same thing here. What's recommended to be said when you slaughter the animal? Do you have it facing the qibla or not? Is it laid down when you slaughter the animal? All these are fiqh issue. But the fundamental issue, it is aqidah issue. Now I want you to look at this hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is narrated by Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Bayhaqi rahimahumullah. A man vowed to sacrifice a camel at a shrine called Buwana. He asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam if his vow was permissible. I wanted to sacrifice at that place, I vowed. So can I do that? He asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ asked the audience whether Buwana was a pagan shrine frequently visited by those who worshipped idols. They replied, it was not. It was not a place where the kuffar used to hold their types of worship there. The Messenger ﷺ then inquired if the pagans celebrated their feasts and held anniversaries at that site. Again, he answered no. The man said no. So the Prophet ﷺ said, fulfill your vow. Now you can slaughter. Why would the Prophet ﷺ ask about that place? I want to slaughter an animal. What has the place to do with the slaughtering, with the sacrifice?
It has to do with tashabbuh.
With tashabbuh. Following their steps? Yes, you wanted to say something? The same thing. Mm-hmm. But does that make it shirk? If someone sacrificed in that place, does it become shirk or not? Why would the Prophet ﷺ ask about their anniversaries, about their feasts? Did they it there or not?
Did something and if one of the leaders did it, it became kind of like a sunnah. They followed that after him and they did it always. And if he went and did something that the mushrikeen used to do and the Muslims saw that in the presence of the Prophet, it would become also something that the Muslims would do that the mushrikeen used to do.
So it's back again to the same thing, copying the kuffar.
If he did it without asking the Prophet, it would be something. But if he asked the Prophet, it's totally different.
Yeah, but the Prophet ﷺ himself asked him, were the kuffar celebrating there? Did they sacrifice anything there? All of these things are involved in aqidah. Why you are slaughtering in that place? You give the sacrifice in that place. If it's like any other place, then you don't go there. Yes. Shirk of imitation. Yes, if you do it, copying the kuffar. Now, in order to understand exactly the issue of sacrifice, you need to read the book, page 76. Do you have the book? Please open. Yes. It's yes, you don't resemble the kuffar by slaughtering or sacrificing in their places of worship. That's correct. I want you to open chapter 9, page 76. Where are your books? Why? Here, read the footnote. It's very important because it is divided to four types. Sacrifice is divided to four types. That's what the author mentioned. The first, slaughtering while making an offering by some name. So you say in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you say in the name of Jesus, in the name of whatever you may say. So this is the first type. And then we have the second type, which is also divided to two situations. So in general, we have two types and four situations. Whether you mention the name of Allah, in the name of Allah, and you sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Or you mention the name of Allah, but you sacrifice to other than Allah. It's not for the sake of Allah. Or you do not mention the name of Allah, but your intention is to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. Or you don't mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your intention is not even for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have four situations. Which one of them is shirk? And if it's a shirk, is it major or minor shirk? Which one of them is not shirk? If it's not shirk, is it permissible or prohibited? There are two pages, 76, 77. The footnote, it's very important. You have to read it. I don't believe we have the mic. Otherwise, I would have asked some students to read, but it's really important to understand the issue of sacrifice. If you sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you mention the name of Allah, then it is permissible. If you don't mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't also mention any other name just because you forgot, and your purpose is not to honor, glorify someone else, your purpose is only to eat, then it becomes an issue of fiqh. And that's why we discuss the dhabiha issue in fiqh. Because in the dhabiha issue, the manufacturers, the companies that they produce beef, ground beef and chicken, they are not doing this to glorify someone. They are doing this to feed the people, to get the money. So there is no religion involved here, it's money. But do they mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Then it became an issue of fiqh. Here what we're discussing, the intentions, the purposes, why you are sacrificing in this place. Did you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? What was your intention? Is it to feed someone, or to glorify someone, or to give the sacrifice for the God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for false gods? All these are different issues. We have four major issues. Basically, if you sacrifice, and you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what? This is one type of ibadah. And once the blood is shedded, you will get the reward for it. Just like what we do in the Eid of sacrifice. You're sacrificing in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's ibadah, and you'll get the reward. You may sacrifice in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but your intention is not ibadah. Your intention is to eat and to feed others. Guests came to you and they wanted to eat. So you slaughtered animal. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. But you will not also get the reward of sacrifice. You'll get the reward of feeding the people. Whether you fed them meat or you fed them anything else, it is the same. Then there is another issue. When you do not mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you say in the name of Jesus or Mary or Zeus or any fake god, you sacrifice in that name of that false god for the sake of glorification or for the gods to accept you. Just like the pagans when they sacrificed for the sake of their idols. Now, is this shirk or it's not? It is shirk. Is it major or minor?
It's major shirk.
Major shirk. Why?
Because it's you're sacrificing to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking the help from someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're sacrificing to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is sacrifice type of ibadah or not?
Yes.
It is. And how we define the shirk? Diversion of any type of ibadah. So is it happening here or not?
Yes.
It is. So it is major shirk. That's true. It is major shirk. So again, you need to understand the situation. Which situation are we talking about? That's in regards to the sacrifice. So it is shirk because it is part of ibadah. What's the evidence that sacrifice is ibadah? What's the evidence? No one knows? Yes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was asked to sacrifice his son. And instead, yeah, but that, maybe this is a specific incident for Ibrahim alayhi salam, because not everyone was asked to sacrifice his son. Exactly, this is the ayah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, say my prayer. Nusuki, my sacrifice. بَازِغَ, very good. مَحْيَايَ, my life, my death. Belong to Allah. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Has no partner. So here it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah commands only what is lawful. Commands only the ibadah. So, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَا وَمَاتِي. Salah, it is prayer, right? So it is type of ibadah. Nusuk also is type of ibadah. As Allah says in another ayah, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. Perform the prayer and the sacrifice, the nahr. So it is type of ibadah because Allah commanded it. And Allah commands that which is ibadah. So it is a type of ibadah. That means if you divert this type of ibadah to other than Allah, it is a major shirk. Now, we're moving to another story. A man entered hellfire for a fly, only because of a fly. This issue is discussed in the book, page 79, and in chapter 10, page 84. So all these pages, you need to read it to understand the issue of sacrifice. Do not think that sacrifice means it has to be a big thing. Sometimes sacrifice is only by intention. Just like this hadith of the fly. Two people, they were passing by a road. And on that road, there were a group of people. And they said, we will not let you go until you sacrifice something for our gods. The first man, he said, I have nothing to sacrifice. They said, you have to sacrifice, even if it's a fly. He said, I will not sacrifice anything to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man was admitted paradise. The other man, he was asked to sacrifice something. And he said, I have nothing. They said, sacrifice even if it's a fly. And he sacrificed a fly. And he entered hellfire. Why? It's only a fly. Why is that? Because he did something to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this hadith is weak. But again, some scholars, they talked about it. Why a man would enter hellfire for a fly only? The act itself, the intention. His intention was to sacrifice to other than Allah. While Allah says, your sacrifice should be only to Allah. Lillah, it belongs. All of these types of worship, prayer, sacrifice, all what you do in your life, and even how you die, it all should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
You're asked, but your intention is not there.
Yes.
You're not going to pass unless you kill a fly. Listen, you kill a fly and you walk, but your intention was not that.
Yes, this is a good question, because even now some scholars said, what's the ruling of that man? He was admitted hellfire. Is he going to be there forever? Did he commit major shirk or minor shirk? Some scholars said he committed minor shirk because he did not want to. They forced him. So his intention was not to sacrifice, but he did it. He committed minor shirk. Other scholars said, no, he committed major shirk because he could have done just like the first man. So scholars differed on this issue. And it's mentioned also in the book. You need to read the commentary on the book. We don't have enough time actually to read it. I would love to, but we don't have the mic and we're getting behind. Other forms of shirk are mentioned in these chapters. Chapter 8, page 66. Chapter 11, page 89. You need to read. And chapter 12, page 91. And chapter 13, page 94. But that's we will discuss it later when it comes to the dua. That's the topic of tomorrow, inshallah. But now we are moving on. Seeking blessing from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking blessings from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this a type of ibadah or not?
Seeking blessing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Why?
Is it dua? Dua is ibadah. It's dua.
Blessing. What's the blessing? Yes.
Allah says yes.
Why? Whoever says yes, why?
Thana.
Thana. Why it is ibadah? What's blessing exactly? It could be rahmah, mercy. Yes.
Are we forgiven for things we're forced to do?
Aren't we forgiven for things we are forced to do? Yes, we are forgiven. But was he forced or not? That's the question. Was the man of the fly forced or not? Let's say someone believed that this plastic, it has special power in it. So I need to use it because it gives me extra strength. It gives me blessing. It is blessed. Or there is a man, he gives blessings. I need to touch him. Once I touch him, what will happen to me? I get the blessings, the forgiveness, so and so. So what's the ruling here?
Minor shirk.
Minor shirk? Why?
He didn't really pray or particular act of worship to other than Allah, you didn't really ask the man for blessing. You just being with him to get the blessing because you know he's blessed. So you are seeking some help from him. But you're not really committing shirk in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Why? You're not committing shirk.
You didn't commit an act of major shirk.
You didn't commit an act of major shirk.
If you go sacrifice for him or bring him, like the people do in Egypt, you go bring sheep and stuff like that, sacrifice for that man because they want his blessing. Yes, that's a major shirk.
But here in this case, you go and visit him. While you go there, I just believe he could give me blessing.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Shada. Okay.
And Sabah says we're seeking supernatural help from him.
Now what if this man was able to give me this blessing?
How?
If he was, does it become shirk or not?
No.
Why?
Because it's proven that nothing can do it.
It's proven. Let me give you an example. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you seek the blessings from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi
Wasallam? Yes.
When he was alive, yes. Why?
Because the Sahaba did it, they were treating their children.
Yes, the Sahaba did it. And there was blessing for the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right?
Yes.
But what about later on, after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? A man comes now and he says, you agree that I can seek blessing from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, because there is a scholar and he's a follower of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so I will seek the blessing from that man.
No, the Abu Bakr Siddiq said, whoever
worshipped Muhammad
is dead, whoever worship Allah, he's
in. Yeah, they are not telling you we go to the grave of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We go to someone who's heir, who inherit this knowledge, this blessing from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is it allowed or not?
What do they want?
They want the blessing, yeah.
That's monarchy. That's
what I
believe. Why? Alive, okay. If the person is alive, then it's okay.
If the person is alive, it's okay.
Yes, because you're not, he's not direct, but indirect, maybe he might do the art of, invoke blessing on you or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah listens to his prayers. Those are friends of Allah. Maybe he's a righteous person.
But they're not seeking dua. They're seeking his blessing, not his dua.
Exactly. They are seeking something from him. Not from his dua.
He might blow on you or something.
Yeah, touching him. You touch him and you get the blessing.
No.
Yes, Shahada. What? Yes, go ahead.
Basika says, because no one made it with Abu Bakr, Umar, or Uthman, or anyone like them. And can we have a scholar that's better than a Sahabi?
Okay, no one did it. I agree with you. No one did it. Neither Abu Bakr nor Umar. But does that make it forbidden, just because they did not do it?
From what I know, it is because the brothers in Egypt, they do not go to mosques that has graves. Because people in Egypt go to that graves and seek blessings from the.
Yeah, this is something different. To go to. That's not what we're talking about. To go to a masjid where there is a grave or not, but again, that's, you see, it's important to picture the situation in your mind before you give the ruling, so you won't be confused. Can you get the blessings from someone?
No.
If you say no, you're wrong. Why? First, because this someone, he may have the blessing, like the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Can you seek the blessing from someplace?
Yes.
Again, it depends. If you say yes, you may be wrong, and if you say no, may be wrong. Why do people go to Mecca? Does Mecca have special place, special interest, importance? It has blessings. But who told us that it has blessing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said that He put His blessing there. لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا. It has blessings. Now the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why he was blessed? Because he was nice looking? Because he's the messenger of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the blessings in him. So if you seek the blessings from a lawful cause, like the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's alive, like the Kaaba according to Islam, then what? This is permissible. But if you seek blessing from other than Allah, from human beings, in causes that it was not given to them, or it was not proven that they have it. Like a scholar, you say if you wanted the blessings, you go and visit him. Just by visiting him, you'll be blessed. You'll notice the change in your life. What's the ruling in that case? Is it permissible or not? Why?
Because it's proven.
It's proven.
Yes, other people have said that.
Other people have said that.
That's what you said, right? Other people in the room. But he's alive.
He's alive. So the issue is whether he's alive or not. What if he's alive but he cannot do it? You think he can and he says, I can. I give you the blessing. Did Allah approve this? Do you have an evidence that you are blessed? Did the Prophet ﷺ give you that thing? If you did, then I would tell you, go ahead. If not, then you cannot. You cannot be blessing others.
He's doing like the popes in the church.
Yes, exactly. That's what the Christians do. That's what the pagans did. Why they wiped on their idols? Because they felt that they will harm them or they will protect them. Now if you come and say, give me your blessings, I want to wipe over your body because you worship Allah more, so I will get the blessings. Is that allowed or it's prohibited?
Yep.
Prohibited. Why?
Because that's a human, not a prophet. Or, you know, the Sahaba used to go after the prophet and catch the water dripping from him after his wudu.
Yes.
But that's the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But those are normal human, just like you said. Who prove their blessings? Who prove the idol's blessings?
Exactly. What's the evidence that you are blessed or I will get the blessings? If there is no evidence, then it is forbidden. But is it shirk or not? Is it shirk or not?
I say minor.
It is minor shirk. Yes, that's true. It is minor shirk. It is minor shirk because you are doing a cause, a means to the major shirk. Yes. Can you seek blessings from your elders? Like, what do you mean by elders? Now remember, there is very important hadith from Abu Waqid al-Laythi radiyallahu anhu. This hadith was at the time of the battle of Hunayn. What happened? They passed by a tree. It's called Dhatu Anwat. Dhatu Anwat. This tree was the destination for the pagans. They hang their swords on it. They put like ribbons, they put things on it to get the blessings from that tree. So they passed by it, and the Prophet and the companions, they were newly Muslims. This happened right after the opening of Mecca. Many of the companions were newly Muslims. Abu Waqid al-Layth radiallahu anhu, he's narrating this story, and he said, some of the companions who were new, they asked the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do for them the same thing. This is what the pagans did. They had a tree where they seek the blessings. We want a tree for us. اجعل لنا ذات أنوات. A sign for us, make for us a tree that we get the blessings from it. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? He said, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is the sunnah. This is the same way of the Jews and the Christians. You are following their footsteps. And he reminded them with the story of Musa alayhi salam, when his people worshipped the calf. Worshipping the calf, is it major or minor?
Major.
Major shirk. It's worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he told the companions that you are following their footsteps. And of course, the companions did not do it. This hadith is very important. And when you read it in the book, you will find like 10 to 20 lessons from this hadith only. The most important thing, what the companions intended to do. They asked the Messenger ﷺ to put for them something like what the kuffar had. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, you are just like doing what the kuffar did. Although they did not do it, yet he still condemned what they did. Although these are new companions, yet the Prophet ﷺ admonished them that this is the footsteps that you're following, the footsteps of the people who worship the calf. Even though the companions themselves, they did not do it. And they are new. They just intended. So there are great lessons here. That even if someone who has the knowledge, he may fall in a mistake. He needs to be reminded. Those companions, they were excused because they were newly Muslims. And they were excused also because they did not do it. If they did it, let's say just if, for the sake of argument, they did it. They took a tree as their destination for blessings. What will happen then?
After the Prophet dies, generations after, it's not going to be known why the tree was taken, and they can start worshipping the tree.
No. After, even at the time of the Messenger, if some people did it, they came to that tree, and they sought the blessings from that tree. What's the ruling here? Minor shirk or major shirk here? It becomes major shirk. It becomes like ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ gave the example. You are doing just like the people of Musa did. So it becomes major shirk. But there is a difference between this and when you go to someone, you are seeking the blessings because you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him some blessings while Allah did not. While here in the tree, you cannot even think that way. It's like an idol. You are worshipping that idol. So it's a major shirk. Now, another issue we have, which is vowing to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Vowing to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does it happen? How does the vowing happen? How does it take place? How does it happen?
This happened, I vow this, if that happened.
Exactly, I vow. Now first of all, is vowing. Now we discuss the vowing rules in fiqh. So why we discuss it here in aqidah? Is it an issue of aqidah or fiqh? Vowing is ibadah. Why it's ibadah? Because Allah loves it. Yufuna bin nadr. They fulfill their vows. So Allah called it ibadah. So if it's ibadah, then if you divert it to other than Allah, it becomes shirk. So vowing to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk. It could be major shirk. When you go to someone, dead or alive, and you tell him, if you cure my son, I vow to do this and this. Is this shirk or it's permissible? What do you think?
Other than Allah?
Yeah.
No, that's shirk.
That's shirk. If you go to a doctor and you tell the doctor, if you cure my son, that's what I will give you. I vow to give you so and so.
That's shirk also.
Why it's shirk?
Because he didn't say, if my son is cured, I will vow this to Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who cures? Allah, it's not the doctor. You vow to the doctor or you vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What if you vow to other than Allah? oh Jesus, oh Lord, or whatever they say, Christians or Jews or pagans, oh Hubal, if this happens to me, I vow to you, I will do such and such. I will sacrifice 10 camels for you. What is this? Major or minor?
Major.
It is major. It becomes major. It's a type of ibadah that you are diverting it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it becomes major. And the last issue for today, which is seeking refuge. What do you mean by seeking refuge? What's the refuge? Al-isti'adah, yeah. Seeking shelter, protection. Can you seek this from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You could, but...
Is it permissible or not?
No, it's not permissible. Well, what kind of...
Protection.
Protection? Well, it is permissible if you're seeking protection.
Alarm system. Can you put alarm system?
Yes.
Why? Isn't Allah the protector?
Well, it is true, but you're protecting your family from thieves. It is true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first migration for them to be protected in Habasha, and the second migration.
What about the bodyguard? Can you put bodyguard?
That's a different issue now.
Why?
He will not guard you if you're going to die at that moment.
No, not to die, but there are people, they may hurt you and...
Harm you?
Yeah.
Well, it depends if you're dependent on that bodyguard order for protection, so depending on Allah, that's probably...
Very good. Do you depend on him or you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you take him as means? The same thing, if you fear something wrong will happen to you and instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you turn to someone and you tell him, please help me, protect me. Is this permissible or not?
Yes.
After we seek the help from Allah.
It is permissible?
Prophet ﷺ used to have a bodyguard in his early days.
In his early days. Musa alayhi salam, didn't he help the one of the children of Israel against the Egyptian man?
Yes.
فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعْتِهِ. He asked Musa for help. So why we discuss it? If it's permissible, then why we discuss it in the chapter of shirk? Intention and action. Always there are two things. Intention, what's your intention? You depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you take this as means or not. Is this person able to help you or not? If you ask help from someone that cannot help, then it becomes shirk. In principle, even if they can help, you should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you can take the means. But if you ask someone to help you while he cannot help you, then it becomes shirk. Yes, Shahada. Okay, yeah, that's good. So inshallah we answered this question. And with this we will conclude our session for today. Hada sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sahbihi ajma'in. Is there any question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Prophet says when the author is saying to seek refuge in other than Allah's shirk, is he talking about the natural type or of seeking refuge, but rather a supernatural specific type?
I believe the last statement I said is clear. If you seek help from someone with something they could help you with, it's not shirk. But it's also disliked because it contradicts the full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet ﷺ took pledge from some of the companions, not all of them. Because not all of them were able to fulfill it. Some of them, they gave the Prophet ﷺ the pledge that they will not ask anyone to help them. Even if something fall from them, they will not ask people to help them. They will take it themselves. So if you ask help from someone, if you seek refuge with someone who could help you, it's not something supernatural, something unseen, and he can help you, then it is permissible. It's not recommended, but it is permissible. It's not shirk. When you ask something which is not in their hands, then it becomes shirk. Any other questions?